For that update, let's take you to another hotspot in the world. The UK Prime Minister is speaking now.
Mr. Speaker.
In the Parliament, British Parliament. Let's listen in to what he has to say.
And I want to say. And I want to say to the people of this country, I know what the issue is. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Yes. Yes. It's whether this government can be trusted to deliver. And I say, Mr. Speaker, yes, we can be trusted. Yes, we can be trusted to deliver. We said that we would get Brexit done, Mr. Speaker, and we did. And we're setting up free ports around the whole United Kingdom. I've been to one of them today, which is creating tens of thousands of new jobs, Mr. Speaker. We said we would get this country through COVID, and we did. We delivered the fastest vaccine rollout in Europe and the fastest booster programme of any major economy, so that we've been able to restore people's freedoms faster than any comparable economy. And at the same time, we've been cutting crime by 14%, building 40 new hospitals and rolling out gigabit broadband, Mr. Speaker, and delivering all the promises of our 2019 agenda so that we have the fastest economic growth of the G7. We have shown that we have done things that people thought were impossible, Mr. Speaker, and that we can deliver for the British people. Mr. Speaker, I remind the benches opposite. The reason we're coming out of COVID so fast is at least partly because we doubled the speed of the booster rollout. And I can tell the House and this country that we are going to bring the same energy and commitment to getting on with the job, to delivering for the British people, and to our mission to unite and level up across this country, Mr. Speaker. And I commend this statement to the House.
I don't call Keir Starmer the Leader of the Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank Sue Gray for the diligence and professionalism with which she's carried out her work. It's no fault of hers that she's only been able to produce an update today, not the full report. The Prime Minister repeatedly assured the House that the guidance was followed and the rules were followed. But we now know that 12 cases have reached the threshold for criminal investigation, which I remind the House means that there is evidence of serious and flagrant breaches of lockdown, including the party on the 20th of May 2020, which we know the Prime Minister attended, and the party on the 13th of November 2020 in the Prime Minister's flat. Yes. There can be no doubt that the Prime Minister himself is now subject to criminal investigation. Yes. The Prime Minister must keep his promise to publish Sue Gray's report in full when it is available. But it is already clear that the report discloses the most damning conclusion possible. Over the last 2 years, the British public have been asked to make the most heart-wrenching sacrifices, a collective trauma endured by all, enjoyed by none. Yeah. Funerals have been missed, dying relatives unvisited. Every family has been marked by what we've been through. And revelations about the Prime Minister's behaviour have forced us all to rethink and relive those darkest moments. Many have been overcome by rage, by grief, and even guilt. Guilt that because they stuck to the law, they did not see their parents one last time. Guilt that because they didn't bend the rules, their children went months without seeing friends. Guilt that because they did as they were asked, they didn't go and visit lonely relatives. But people shouldn't feel guilty. They should feel pride in themselves and their country, because by abiding by those rules, they've saved the lives of people they will probably never meet. They have shown the deep public spirit and the love and respect for others that has always characterised this nation at its best. Yes. Our national story about COVID is one of a people that stood up when they were tested. But that will be forever tainted by the behaviour of this Conservative Prime Minister. By routinely breaking the rules he set The Prime Minister took us all for fools. He held people sacrificing contempt. He showed himself unfit for office. His desperate denials since he was exposed have only made matters worse. Rather than come clean, every step of the way, he's insulted the public's intelligence. And now he's finally fallen back on his usual excuse. It's everybody's fault but his. They go, he stays. Even now, he is hiding behind a police investigation into criminality, into his home and his office. Mr. Speaker, he gleefully treats what should be a mark of shame as a welcome shield. Yes. But, Prime Minister, the British public aren't fools. They never believed a word of it. They think the Prime Minister should do the decent thing and resign. Yes. Of course he won't, because he is a man without shame. Yes. And just as he has done throughout his life, he's damaged everyone and everything around him along the way. His colleagues have spent weeks defending the indefensible, touring the TV studios, parroting his absurd denials, degrading themselves and their offices, fraying the bond of trust between the government.
Oh, order. The member for Stoke Ribble is my neighbour. I expect better from my neighbours. Keir Starmer.
Fraying the bond of trust between the government and the public, eroding our democracy and the rule of law. Margaret Thatcher once said, the first duty of government is to uphold the law. If it tries to bob and weave and duck around that duty when it's inconvenient, then so will the governed. Mr. Speaker, to govern this country is an honour, not a birthright. It is an act of service to the British people, not the keys to a court to parade to your friends. Yeah. It requires honesty, integrity and moral authority. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me that this Prime Minister's lack of integrity is somehow priced in, that his behaviour and character don't matter. I have never accepted that, and I never will accept that. Whatever your politics, whichever party you vote for, honesty and decency matters. Our great democracy depends on it. And cherishing and nurturing British democracy is what it means to be patriotic. There are members opposite who know that, and they know the Prime Minister is incapable of it. The question they must now ask themselves is, what are they going to do about it? They can heap their reputations, the reputation of their party, the reputation of this country on the bonfire that is his leadership. Or they can spare the country from a Prime Minister totally unworthy of his responsibilities. It is their duty to do so. They know better than anyone how unsuitable he is for high office. Many of them knew in their hearts that we would inevitably come to this one day. And they know that as night follows day, continuing his leadership will mean further misconduct, cover-up and deceit. It is only they that can end this farce. The eyes of the country are upon them. They will be judged by the decisions they take now.
Prime Minister!
Well, Mr. Speaker, there's a reason why he said...
Yes, we can be trusted. The plea there by Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the UK, addressing a sentiment prevailing in the country. It's been called Partygate, the accusation that he violated government lockdown rules during lockdown periods of COVID. We heard that sentiment being rejected by the Leader of the Opposition, Keir Starmer, saying the Prime Minister took us all for fools. Let's bring in Paul Brennan. He's at Westminster in London. Given what's happening now, Paul, I think it's safe to say there's no sign of an easy exit for Boris Johnson at this point.
And no desire from Boris Johnson to head for the exit either. I mean, what we're hearing there from Keir Starmer, the leader of the opposition, is an impassioned plea for Boris Johnson's own MPs to turn on their leader. The question is whether those MPs are prepared to listen to what the opposition leader has to say and do what he wants them to do, which is to send letters of no confidence to the 1922 committee and thereby spark a leadership challenge to Boris Johnson. It's looking very unlikely that there's any appetite for that anymore. What we've had in the last week and a half since Sue Gray's report was initially due to be released is a venting of anger and frustration and exasperation. And then the kind of the news cycle has moved on. And we were waiting for Sue Gray's report to come out. We then had the Metropolitan Police intervene and say that because they were investigating in a criminal sense some of the gatherings, that Sue Gray's report would not be able to have all every cough and splutter of what went on in this building behind me during those 20 months. It's kind of taken the power out of the report. It's taken the punch away from the opposition parties. And as a result, Sue Gray's 12-page document, 8 pages of report, 4 pages of annexes, appendixes, it talks in general about the culture within Downing Street without actually naming names or looking at any specific incidents or specific gatherings. It certainly doesn't say that the Prime Minister personally was responsible in any way. And that's why Boris Johnson was able to stand up and say, look, you know, I'm sorry. I concede there needs to be significant learning, but I am going to restructure the way that Downing Street is run. I get it, and I will fix it, he said. And the question is whether he will that will be enough for his MPs. He's actually going to be addressing his Conservative MPs in the House later on this afternoon. So I think he knows that there's still a challenge that he needs to overcome to keep them on side. But I think the prospect of an immediate leadership challenge has significantly receded in recent days.
All right, thanks so much. Paul Brennan outside number 10 Downing Street there. Let's take you back.